We're on page 109, item 12.2.8, change of August 2016, ordinary council meeting date. Simple majority vote required.
I think you've missed.
We missed it.
You've missed 12.2.7.
Oh, sorry, I'm a bit excited. Okay, page 104, item 12.2.7, interim audit and financial management review. Do I have any points of clarification?
Madam Mayor, are we voting on the first recommendation or altogether?
I'll keep them split as they are. So first one with a simple majority vote, then the second one simple majority vote.
Madam Mayor, I have a declaration.
Mm. Yes.
That I'm 12.2.7, that I'm a social member of the Yacht Club, and with regard to this item, I disclose that I have been partially interest because I am a member, social member. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on this matter may be affected. I declare that I will consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
And now I have a
I'll take all declarations of interest first, and then I can shed light on the two recommendations.
Madam Mayor, as I'm the Commodore of the Yacht Club, and the Yacht Club is mentioned in this report, I disclose that I have an impartial interest because I'm the Commodore of the Yacht Club. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I'll consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Thank you. Okay, just to clarify things. Oh, sorry, Councillor Gillingham.
Yes, I also declare an impartiality to 12.2.7. As regarding finances mentioned in the item, I have an impartiality interest because of being a social member of the Yacht Club. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I will consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Any further declarations, Councillor Whitwell?
I have an impartiality interest as being a member of the Yacht Club. With regard to this agenda item, and I disclose that I have the impartiality interest because I'm a member of the club, and as a consequence there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I'll consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Okay, just to make it nice and clear, the first recommendation is the Audit Risk Governance Committee recommendation. Officers have presented an officer recommendation. So that's the second. So like we did with the boat ramp, just indicate which one you are moving, if you are moving one. Okay.
Can I clarify? So we're only moving one?
One, yes.
Okay. Madam Mayor, I'll move the first.
The Audit Risk Governance Committee?
That's right, yes.
Right. So I have a mover in Councillor Blanco. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Whitwell, do I have any against? The motion is carried 9-0. Okay, item 12.2.8, change of August 2016 ordinary council meeting date. Simple majority vote required.
Point of clarification,
yes.
Was everyone canvassed?
Pardon?
Was everyone canvassed?
Canvassed, we discussed it quite fully at the public agenda briefing.
Okay.
So sorry you weren't there, but everyone else was in attendance. It is for a visiting WA dignitary, but I can't share any more than that because we have our friends from the paper here. But it is going to be a very important occasion.
Well, in that case, we won't be visiting.
Okay, so I have a mover in Councillor Riff, seconder in Councillor Gillingham. Do I have any against? Okay, speaking order is Councillor Riff first, second speaker Councillor Gillingham, first speaker against Councillor Melville.
No need to debate, thanks.
Okay, so I'll put it to a vote. Show of hands, those in favour of the recommendation, those against the recommendation, let the vote record 8-1. Okay, item 12.2.9, statement of financial activity for period ended 30th of June 2016. Simple majority vote required, any points of clarification? I'll start with Councillor Blanco, then Councillor Tarbo.
Madam Mayor, in the monthly statement of financial activity, attachment to item on this item, page 2, by nature and type, total operating revenue year to date, actuals show the additional revenue to the adopted year to date budget of 57 million. I find this confusing. The 57 million is related to the airport lease funds. My understanding is that amount should be 164 million, not 57 million, because it is year to date actuals on additional revenue. I have spoken to Director of Finance and spoke to the matter. I would like that clarified again.
Acting CEO, can you clarify that?
Through the chair, I'll just defer that again back to the acting director, corporate services.
Through the chair, I'd like to get our manager of finance to add that to the answer. I'm sure she's capable.
The additional 57.
Madam Mayor, I have quite a few on this one. The the add back non-cash items is listed in there as 45 million. Now I was told that 40 million of that is a line item for the 40 million that the consortium is proposed to spend on the airport. So we haven't actually received that 40 million, and they haven't spent it yet. There's $5 million included in that 45 that was paid to the TAG group for their business with the town. So I don't understand how we can have 40 million not received and not spent, and yet we have 5 million that has been spent to the add back of non-cash items. Can I keep?
Acting CEO?
I will defer to the manager of finance.
The 45 million represents the future proceeds of the lease. So not the 40 million that you're referring to for the future works, but it's actually for the future years lease portion. So there's about 1.2 for the current year and then 45 million for future years.
Any further points of clarification, Councillor Blanco? Councillor
Tarver? So just a request on how we present these attachments for the CEO payments and that. Can we have it sorted by a supplier and then date rather than date? Because you've got 5-6 different entries for one supplier. If we can have them all batched together.
Acting CEO, perhaps to the acting director, if that's possible.
Through the chair, the preference obviously is to have it sorted by supply name, my view is that that's totally possible. How about you allow us to have a play with two versions for next month, and assuming we can't, then obviously we'll advise, but my assumption on the date is that we will be able to achieve that, and worst case we'll supply you with two.
Okay.
Right, thank you. Any further points of clarification, Councillor Blanco?
Madam Mayor, on page 115, it's got 18,300,000, which is unfinished capital works. which will be added to the 16-17 budget. Is that funds that we have already, or are we going to put 18.3 million into Capital Works next budget?
Through the chair, I'll just defer to the manager of finance again.
On page 115
of the report,
it's under the capital expenditure and revenue. It's that first row, acquisition of infrastructure, property, plant, and equipment.
Capital expenditure.
Through the chair, whilst the manager of finance is finding it and clarifying, I might make a comment on. My understanding is that the 18 million predominantly relates to scheduled budgeted works for the airport that are part of our capital commitment as part of the lease obligations as the former landowner. So there's a good $15 million, for example, that relates to airport activities, sewer, water, CCTV, for example.
Councillor Blanco?
So, how much money did we spend on the airport this year? My understanding from previous conversations is we were going to spend $10 million. Then we come up with $20 million. How much did we spend this year on the airport? And then next year we've got another $18.3
million. Okay, thank you. Acting CEO?
Through the chair, I'll take that on notice and give you a proper, accurate number for that. Unless, yes, I'm getting a nod over there, so we'll take that on notice.
Right. Any further points of clarification, Councillor Tarbo?
Yeah, just on the same area there. The Capital Works, it's got a percentage there. Is the amount spent match the completion? So happy to take that on notice as well, but the spent amount over the whole lot. So it says it's like 58%. The spend?
Sorry, the simple answer is no. The next question I can't answer.
Okay, can I get the answer?
We'll take it on notice, thank you. Any further points of clarification? Okay, I have a mover. In Councillor Riff. I have a seconder. In Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? The motion is carried, 9-0. Okay, we're on page 134, item 12.2.10, 16-17 schedule of fees, absolute majority vote required. Now we have a blue sheet as well. Do I have any points of clarification, Councillor Tarbo?
I think there might be a slight amendment to that alternate.
Yes.
Well, it might be the new alternate.
Do I have a blue sheet?
Oh, it's been superseded, don't worry about it, Councillor Blanco. Ignore it. We have a white piece of paper now. So this is an alternative recommendation as requested by Councillor Tarbo. Oh, we're getting that circulated. Councillor Tarbo, do you want to talk on it? What is it?
Yeah, so basically this is looking at fees and charges that we charge for community, or charge community groups, boarding groups, the use of community facilities, ovals, things like that. It tries to cover all the sporting groups and community groups in town to reduce the actual cost to our sporting groups to them. So that's basically what it is. It also includes the hiring fees, Matt Dan Cultural Centre as well, to our community groups. So it's trying to actually increase the utilisation of our facilities. But decrease the actual cost too. So the effect being, get the same income, but it just gets used more.
Okay, can I just, Acting CEO, can I get some clarification? What are the impacts or ramifications of this alternative recommendation?
Oh, thank you, Madam Mayor. So as you will note by part two, we are requesting that we go away and just calculate those impacts and report that back prior to budget adoption, hopefully through budget workshop, so there is a very clear understanding of what the impacts are and council can make an informed decision either way.
Okay, And so it's considering adopting, so it isn't adopting.
That's correct. So through the chair, these are the key ones that Councillor Tarbo had highlighted that he would like to see a reduction in. As we point out in part two, there is obviously quite a number of other elements to it as well. Some are obviously currently affected by contract through the YMCA, the Matt Dan, and also some of the regulated aspects in regards to town planning, accessibility compliance, ensuring that they can be reduced without impacting on any regulations.
Councillor Blanco, then Councillor Gillingham.
Is the Mac Dan under contract with YMCA?
No.
So what is the CA referring to? What contract?
Through the chair.
Through the Mac Dan.
Wanagura Stadium is mentioned on the back page.
Oh, yeah.
Or room hires, etc. Stadium facility rental and squash courts.
Councillor Gillingham?
Yeah, it's just that I did a declaration, Madam Chair, earlier for 12.2.10 because the yacht club is mentioned in the fees and charges.
Mm-hmm.
So am I still required to do the impartiality?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you. So if I may do that now,
mm-hmm.
Thank you. In regards to 12.2.10, finance all fees and charges, with regard to this item, I just feel that I have an impartiality interest because I am a social member of the yacht club, which is mentioned in the finances. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I will consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Mayor, I have got a declaring impartiality interest as well. So as I'm the Commodore of the Yacht Club, I have a regard to 12.2.10. I disclose that I have an impartial interest because I'm the Commodore of the Yacht Club. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I'll consider the matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Any other declarations, Councillor Riff?
Yeah, same. Madam Mayor, with regards to item number 12.2.10, schedule of fees and charges, I declare that I'm a social member of the Yacht Club, which is mentioned in this agenda item. So with regard to agenda item 12.2.10, I declare that I have an impartiality interest because I'm a member of the yacht club mentioned here. As a consequence, there may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I will consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Any other declarations? Councillor Whitwell?
I've got the declaration sheet in front of me. It's right back in my system.
That's okay.
But, yeah, I declare that I'm I've got an impartiality interest because I'm a full member of the yacht club and the yacht club is mentioned here. So, and I'll do everything I can to ensure that the people's perception about my impartiality and on the matter may be affected, and clear that I will consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly.
Councillor Mel, were you declaring an interest or?
Kind of wait and then I'll let you go.
Okay, so I'll just quickly declare a quick interest in partiality as well as for this item, as I am the volunteer patron of the Port Hedland Netball Association and they are listed. I declare an impartiality interest. There may be a perception that my impartiality on the matter may be affected. I declare that I'll consider this matter on its merits and vote accordingly. Okay, so we have two recommendations here, but we have the alternative recommendation moved by Councillor Tarbo.
I'll second that, Madam.
Seconded by Councillor Blanco. Do I have any against? So speaking order is Councillor Tarbo, Councillor Blanco, first speaker against, Councillor Riff.
So, look, I guess the intent of this is to get the facilities we have, which are great facilities, to be actually used and affordable to our community groups. As you know, there's been a downturn in our town, or our economy, and the last thing we want to do is make our sporting groups, our junior sporting groups, our community groups, actually have to pay for this. Now, the key to this is it's not actually adopting here tonight, it's for us to be able to consider these costs at a later date. So the other thing you will find is that the amount that is actually going to cost the town on this is going to be less than a late item that we have to consider tonight and what we put into the Northwest Festival. So what we put into the Northwest Festival will probably keep this recommendation going for the next 4 or 5 years. So the cost isn't that much. You would have seen an email come out this week with the actual costs that, or the revenue that we do create from these areas, and you'll see that they're not large amounts. They're all in the $20,000-$30,000 a year. So if we reduce it by 20%, 30%, and some of them 50%, then you're actually not reducing it that much. So I think we should pass this motion and actually go to further detail and consider what the impacts are to the actual whole community.
Second speaker for Councillor Blanco.
Madam Mayor, again, reducing the costs on sporting groups and residents and ratepayers for our facilities will encourage them to use them, because at the moment they are very expensive. Also, there is a resolution of council already out that we voted on and agreed to reduce the cost on these facilities significantly. And the CEO was instructed to have a look at it and reduce it, and that clearly hasn't happened. Madam Mayor.
First speaker against, Councillor Riff.
Madam Mayor, I do understand that this is just to consider adopting the proposed fees and charges. What concerns me is that we are getting closer, ever closer and closer to the budget, and we need to adopt something very, very soon. So that's the first thing. The next thing is that we haven't actually got a figure as to how much the proposed reduction in rates is going to cost the town, and therefore transferring a cost to how much or what cost to the service and maintenance of those same facilities. If we reducing the cost to enable our members, our community, to use it, to the detriment of the actual facility, because we can't afford to do the maintenance, what is the point? We actually, the buildings, the facilities, the parks, the courts, all still need the same amount of maintenance. So we still need to do that. The $20,000 to $30,000 per year that you say might be a saving. Well, that is a lot of money when you're looking at doing maintenance on your netball courts or your rugby fields or things like that. Yes, I do understand that by reducing the cost, you may encourage groups to use it more. But ultimately, it's actually probably not the cost of the facility so much as the availability of the adults to run the meeting. So, Madam Mayor, I don't agree with this as it is. I think we need to go back to the original recommendation and stick to that. Thank you.
Speaker four.
Yeah, I'll speak for about it, Mayor. Just picking up a couple of things that Councillor Riff said, I think your fixed costs for a lot of these assets are going to be fixed regardless of how often the ovals run around on or a meeting might occur or something along those lines. I think to Councillor Tarbo's credit, a lot of the actual operational aspects and the monetary cost on a lot of these groups will actually go straight back to their bottom line to actually help them stay afloat, because I do know there are quite a few organisations struggling in this current environment, and as you did allude to, we have a lot of exodus of some high-end personnel that we're helping run those facilities, so helping that bottom end is certainly going to help, so I'll support that recommendation.
Speaker against, Councillor
Whitwell. I'm very much in favour of sporting groups getting good and good facilities, and also getting not having to pay for them very much. So, in essence, you know, I'm committed to this type of approach. But the thing that worries me is we again have no idea at this stage, although with further consideration we may have, of what value this is in terms of the amount of revenue that we're going to be reduced by. And I think the point being made by Councillor Roof was that, you know, we've got to keep this thing up. Now, unless we're going to give somewhere in the organisation on something, we're just going into further expenditure, which is... Now, if we can give up on one thing or something which will compensate this, I have no difficulty whatsoever. And in fact, I'll probably even go further.
Speaker for? Speaker against? Councillor Hooper?
Yes, in general, I too would like to see a more studied approach to the reducing of fees for various sporting groups, and that does bear some more investigation. However, there's also the philosophical way of looking at it, which needs to take into consideration the sense of ownership that people gain from buying into any activity. The problem with this, I see, is that it's taking everything away from user pays. We have a range of user pays in our society where if it was to be complete user pays, then no one could afford to use anything here. At the moment, it's a blend of user plus community pays, and I think that's the balance that we're trying to strike. As it is, the community, the council, the staff, the Town of Port Hedland subsidises the costs for many of these venues, hires, as it is. If we push too far into community pays, then what we're doing is we're taking away the payment by the individual user and putting it upon the rate payers. So the cost by doing this, I see, if we were to take that, every single cost there, the 75% or whatever the cost is, it gets put squarely on the shoulders of the rate payers. And what that does, it doesn't really increase any sense of ownership. We've seen the negative aspects of welfare mentality, where you give people too much and they don't respect or use or utilise or value what it is. I think we need to spend some more time working out just where these costs fit. For example, reduce the commercial charges under the Matyang Cultural Centre by 50%. That's one I have a particular problem with, because I've gone and researched the costs of other venues, and our venue is already at around about half the cost of other WA venues of similar size. So I don't really agree with that one. But once again, at this point in time, we need to adopt the original recommendation and come back and work through some of these sporting charges to give the benefit to our community.
Speaker for, Councillor Gillingham.
Yes, thank you. I understand what Councillor Hooper is saying, but we did learn a couple of months ago that in comparison between the Matt Dan Centre, for example, and His Majesty's Theatre in Perth, to hire the venue in Perth for a week was at a massively reduced cost in Perth, and what an amazing facility. So I just don't think there's any comparison there, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Can we get a point of clarification?
Oh, okay. Yes. Point of clarification, Councillor Blanco.
The if this gets passed by absolute majority, we are just considering it again, are we?
I've been advised it only requires a simple majority vote. Both recommendations only require a simple majority vote. So it does get considered again as part of the annual budget adoption process. So it's just considering it, hence simple majority vote.
Madam Mayor, can I suggest an alternate or an amendment?
I'm in the debate, yep. So I'm already fully fledged into the debate. Speakers against? Speakers for? Right of reply, Councillor Tarbo.
Clarification first. Does Councillor Blanco want to do a foreshadowing motion?
He didn't say that, so you can speak for him and ask, but I'm sure he can speak and he can do that. So, right of reply, Councillor Tarbo, we're in a debate.
Okay. Look, thanks for all those views on this, and look, I understand some of them, don't agree with them, but if you're talking about the sense of ownership of the facilities, we're still paying for the users are still paying to hire these. The costs that actually go with it, the bonds and everything, still sit there. So maintaining our facilities is still there. The opportunity to use our $1 million facilities that we have, it's no use to the community sitting there not being used. All we're saying is we want them to be used. We want our sporting groups to utilise them, and we want them to be to the benefit of the community. What we're looking at here is getting the benefit for the whole community all year round, not just one weekend for an event. We're doing it all year to majority of people who use who are in the community. We talked about the ratepayers already paying for it. They are paying for it already, and those rates are going to maintaining a facility that's not being used at all. So we might as well utilise them, give it back to the community, and go from there. Again, this is not about, at the moment, it's not about the accepting all these fees now. It's for consideration. So we're saying we're going to consider it, we're going to get more in-depth views. Point two, there's getting more information to come back to us. So I don't see any issues with passing this and considering giving back to the community more than what they can currently get, and helping these sporting clubs who, like we've heard tonight, the South Hedland Bowling Club is struggling. They're struggling because participation for people and cost to them as a sporting club. So we want to take this further, and at the moment it says considering, but it should be actually, you know, taken to and passing tonight.
Amen. I need a point of clarification.
Unless it's pertinent to that right of reply and the vote that's going to be cast.
Yes, okay. It is. I want some advice on whether I can amend the alternate recommendation.
Acting CEO, we've had the right of reply. We're just about to vote on it. Is there an opportunity for an amendment? When we've already debated.
Through the chair, I'm getting a nod that that is okay to be able to undertake an amendment to
yes,
the alternative.
It's not completely different to what is
already. Oh, it's not completely.
Okay.
I would just like to remove consider and adopt and change.
No, that's completely different.
It's not completely
it
different.
It is. So it is consider adopting. If you are to remove consider, that means adopting. So
exactly.
Then it changes to an absolute majority vote, so it changes the nature of it.
It doesn't change the intent, it changes the voting requirements.
I'm the presiding member, it is
just
a significant change.
So in accordance with the standing orders, it is up to the discretion of the presiding member to decide whether or not...
It's a significant change. Okay. Everyone has been debating, we've had everyone talking on it. That's a significant change right on the death knell when we're about to vote. So I'm going to put it to a vote. Those in favour of the recommendation, alternative recommendation.
I didn't think I finished.
Madam Chair.
Continue on. You've got 1.5 minutes to go.
Won't take that long. Again, tonight we're going to consider additional costs, and we've already put additional costs into the Northwest Festival, which will, again, like I said before, easily outweigh what this is going to cost us as a council and as a town, and the benefit's going to outweigh the actual cost of what we're considering here. But yes, and again, this is just purely to, at this stage, to consider adopting these proposed fees.
Okay. So, I have an alternative recommendation moved by Councillor Tarbo, seconded by Councillor Blanco. Those in favour of that recommendation, a show of hands. Those against the recommendation, a show of hands. Let the vote record 5-4. The motion is carried. Simple majority vote.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Melville. Okay, item 12.3.1, town representation at the Northwest Festival. Have a recommendation and an alternate recommendation. Councillor Tarbo.
I'll propose the alternate recommendation number one.
Alternate recommendation one, move, Councillor Tarbo.
Madam Mayor, can we slow down? I haven't got that in front of me. So can we just wait?
No. Move, Councillor Tarbo, seconded, Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against the recommendation? The motion is carried 9-0. 8-0 with Councillor Melville left. Given the sentiment that's been conveyed in the community and given the change in our sponsorship arrangements, it felt that this is the best option going forward. Thank you.
It's the right thing to do.
Okay, we are now on page 161. Request for tender, oval electronic scoreboards. Recommendation there, simple majority vote.
I do have some questions on it.
Any questions, councillors?
Yes, I do.
Yep, Councillor Tarbo.
Hang on. I've got to find it first. You can get Blanco if you want.
Councillor Blanco.
Madam Mayor, I'm unclear as to how we can have a significant difference in quotes when two local companies are about the same, and then we have a New South Wales company that is, you know, significantly cheaper. I have looked them up, and they are a church community group. Is there any disadvantages to our local businesses by allowing this community, church community group, to take this tender?
Acting CEO.
Through the chair, this obviously is a competitive tender. It's been assessed against criteria and weightings. And at the end of the assessment process, the priority orders have been identified with the preferred provider being recommended by the selection panel put forward to council for consideration.
Madam Mayor, do we know whether the people employed by Danthonian church community groups, whether the people are actually paid for the work that they perform, much the same as the Henderley Electrical and Belmanco Electrical? Are we clear on that? Do those people get paid for their services as they work?
Through the chair, I wasn't involved in the selection panel. I haven't been involved in it. I can't tell the mayor with any great confidence what the detail of the individuals involved in the process are. I'm not too sure if it's assessed on the detail of whether they get paid or not, to whether they can deliver the scope of work that's been put out for a tender.
Madam Mayor, I actually would like to know the answer to that question, because it puts our local businesses, whether they be in Headland or whether they be you know, in Karratha, at a significant disadvantage.
Acknowledge that, Councillor, but you are in effect attempting to bring in a different selection criteria to what has been publicly advertised. So, Acting CEO.
Through the chair, obviously this has been out and advertised. It has been, I think we received six tenderers. We had selection criteria for the output of what we were trying to achieve for the two sites. Everyone has been assessed by the same criteria, and the preferred provider has been found.
Councillor Tarbo?
I see it's got a regional price preference there, yet I haven't heard of these people in town. Just wondering how they qualified, and
Through the chair, unfortunately, I don't have the person who was managing the project here this evening to be able to provide the detail about that. So I can't give the detail behind some of the criteria which our selection panel went through. That is obviously quite as much information I can, but some of that is detailed administrative work, and really what we're putting forward is the recommendations of that administrative work and selection, and a very, very tight scope of work that went out for request for tender, and we're presenting that to you at the moment.
Can the Acting Director of Community and Development Services add anything as the authorising officer of the report?
No, at this point in time, again, the detailed process. Wasn't
involved in the
assessment process.
I'm
not sure if that manager of IT was involved in the process.
You are? Are you able to shed any light, manager of IT, on any of these questions that are being asked? Are they paying staff, and are they?
So I was asked to review the technical aspect, not the pricing aspect. A couple of values that we forward to all the suppliers. One of them was viewing angle, the distance, temperature control. And one of the aspects that was important to the Port Hedland oval is that total load on the from the horizon power delivery. So what was unique about Port Hedland oval is the restrictions, how much power we can draw from the subboard. It's about 24 amps. And I think you are referring to the Aztec. We went back to Aztec, we identified the day proposal was drawing too much and it would be tripping the circuit breakers. So we send them the horizon power diagram and we send them the restrictions on the site, and they replied back to us and they said what they propose will only work with 35 amps. So then we went to horizon power. Said we can implement Aztec, but there will be significant cost in trenching and digging back to the main support. So we had an interactive conversation with Aztec. So there are limitations to how much power we can draw through Horizon Power Agreement. Yes.
Okay, Acting CEO.
I know there was significant dialogue backwards and forwards, yes, in regards to all the tenderers and what could and couldn't be supplied. There was significant attempts to try and provide alternative options, but they all came at significant costs. The provision of the power to provide a fit for need requirement was up to a max of 24 amps, which Horizon Power have supplied. Anything above that, we're starting to obviously really get into outside TVs.
From Aztec, they were coming at 35 amps. So like we took it back to Horizon Power, they said they won't be able to draw the current from the subboard. They'll take it to the main building. The cost will be significant.
I'll go to Council Blanco. Has that answered or attempted to answer?
It hasn't. Not at all. Can I ask, are the scoreboards being supplied to these tenderers, or are they creating the scoreboards themselves?
Sorry, through the chair, I might just defer to the manager ICT records for that one.
So the project has many components. So what will happen, the project would be broken down into a civil, which would include the frame and would include the IT panels, which I get excited about. So I will be focusing on IT that goes inside the frame. And the guys from work services, they will be concentrating on the frame and the footing and mounting into the ground. So the project, it wasn't on lighting, but it was also an engineering project, yes. So all those guys, they had combinations that, I think they had subsections, like Paramedical was a very good guy. He had a very good project. He was very, very expensive. So we went even back and forward. It took us maybe at least 1 month going back and forward in communication and trying to reduce prices where we could through clarification, and they were still very, very expensive.
Councillor Blanco?
No, Madam Mayor, I would actually like to lay this on the table and get the answers to our questions before we consider this item.
Okay. Councillor Tarbo, your point of clarification?
Yeah, so it was more around, I think the question was, are they getting supplied these scoreboards? Are they pre-made and getting delivered, or are they building from scratch? Because 24 amps for a scoreboard is, you know, it's massive. I'm not sure if people understand how much current. Exactly, that as well, right? So if you're going 24 for lights as such, I think you probably light up the South End Oval, all the lights on there for 24 amps. You know, so it's a massive amount of current you're using for that. So I need to understand that better.
So Acting CEO?
So through the chair, I'll just defer to the manager.
So one of the components we reviewed is how the fancy partners would deal with temperature, and we defined temperature being of 55, no higher. And I know Aztec proposed actually dedicated air conditioning system. As you know, with aircons, when you start them up, they will ramp up and then slow down. The same with the security or IP rack, which is protection. We also encourage them to put some kind of roll-out shutters
And due to minimize OHS risk, we said it would be better to have it automatic rather than a manual, and therefore you will have to add little motor attached with it. So when we try to design a scoreboard that would not cause us OHS issues moving forward.
I'd like to second Councillor Blanco's motion.
Okay, so we have an alternative recommendation to lay the item on the table for want of further information. Move Councillor Blanco, seconded Councillor Tarbo. Do I have any against? Motion carried 9-0. Okay, item 13, reports of officers. Item 13.1, Audit Risk Governance Committee minutes. Item 12.1.1, Interim Audit Financial Management Review. Simple majority vote required. Any points of clarification?
Can I just get 1 minute or something?
On page 168. Points of clarification, councillors?
No,
do I have
no
a mover?
Member.
Yep, I'll mover move and Councillor Blanco, seconder and Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion is carried 9-0. Item 14, motions of which previous notice have been given, there are nil. Item 15, new business of an urgent nature. There is one. Item 15.1, Port Hedland International Airport electrical upgrade payments. Can I have a mover and seconder to even consider this item tonight? Move Councillor Hooper, seconded Councillor Hooper. Do I have any against? Motion is
yes, I am against.
Okay. Speaking order is Councillor Riff, second speaker for Councillor Hooper, first speaker against Councillor Blanco. This is just to even look at the item.
Yep.
Councillor Riff.
Madam Mayor, it's not a big item. It wouldn't take long for any of the members, if they haven't had time to read through it, to consider it right now. If we were to suspend standing orders while people were to read it, and then we could consider it.
Councillor Hooper, second speaker for.
Yes, I agree with Councillor Riff.
First speaker against, Councillor Blanco.
Madam Mayor, we're continuously getting late items that we can't review and look at, and they're costing us significant amounts of money. I would rather that we had time to go over it and to make sure we're clear on what we're voting on.
Okay. Right of reply, Councillor Riff.
No, that's fine.
Okay, I'll put it to a vote. Those in favour of even just considering the item, a show of hands, please. Those against considering the item, a show of hands, please. Okay, it's for all. It's a simple majority vote to consider an item, so I'll use my mayoral casting vote to support that the item be considered tonight. So that is 5-4, using the mayoral casting vote. Item 15.1. Now, there are two recommendations there. First recommendation, simple majority vote. I'll start with that recommendation. Do I have any points of clarification? Councillor Whitwell.
They talk about 10% as being the amount of variation that can be tolerated.
Yes.
What is the percent that we've got here of 276,406?
Acting CEO.
Through the chair, this is a project that has been going over probably 2 or 3 years,
okay.
And obviously there's incremental increases against what was potentially the original amount, which is over now potentially the 10% margin. We could be up to maybe 20%,
but no more than 20%.
One of the issues we're having is, through the chair, sorry, mm-hmm. is to actually clearly articulate what the actual variation percentage potentially is.
Councillor
Tarbo? I'm not sure why we're finding out about this now. Obviously, I haven't been on council for very long, but this amount of money should have been known for a while. And it should have come to us probably a lot earlier. And being more than 10%, from my understanding, is that you need to come back to council before it's done. But it doesn't seem like that's the case. We're in a rock and a hard place here. Was the proper process followed?
Acting CEO.
So this initial project initiated probably back in 2013. So I think it was a stage two of the ring main, sewer, etc. There was a stage three tender went out to continue the work. Some of stage two hadn't been finished, some of that was transferred. So there was a lot of issues created in 2013-14 that have been ongoing. We've picked it up. We've identified some of the these issues which needed to be continued, and we've pushed it back now to council to say that it is above that 10% and it needs to come back to council. So what we're doing is just putting it back to council rather than, and also it was identified in the Moore Stevens report earlier on that this the legacy issues of the tendering process and how the contracts were then managed and how variations were added to it did not follow process, and we are now putting it back to council with that knowledge and to say, look, this is the scenario, warts and all, and requesting that we are able to conclude the work through council resolution to make the final payment. I suppose one of the positives is that the tech service has done a very, very good job with the work they've undertaken out of the airport, even though we have obviously gone through some variations over the project over the years.
So the work's completed now?
Through the chair, I might just defer to the Director of Works and Services.
Yeah, through the chair, so the works are completed. The majority of this cost actually relates to commission and punch list items. So I guess in terms of a process improvement, the acting CEO has identified, and in line with your comments, Councillor Tarbo, we are bringing it back to council to make the decision. The reality is it was a remain project. You can't stop the project midstream. So the work has been completed. I guess we are learning from earlier issues. It's a process improvement. It should have occurred earlier. It didn't happen. We're now doing the right thing and bringing it back to council and informing council of this variation.
Again, some of these works aren't, when you walk into an electrical job, you don't identify most of these, especially $200,000 worth, after the fact. You can see what work needs to be done. Again, it should have been, I would expect that they would have identified that, brought it back to council, as in the town, to approve these costs. So did that happen?
Acting CEO?
Through the chair, it's happening now. Presenting it back to you at this point in time. So I can't talk or comment on maybe why it hasn't happened. I might just defer to the Director of Works and Services.
So through the chair, I think the Moore Stevens report also identifies that the scoping of the original tender could have been completed more thoroughly. We have learned from that process. We do have a stage-gated project management framework in place which addresses the concerns raised in the audit. So I don't believe going forward we will have these issues again. It's a legacy issue prior to the current administration's time.
Councillor, that statement there is what I was going to ask next. So future projects that we do, we're not going to see any more variations?
Through the chair, I would never put hand on heart and say no. Obviously, the variations can occur for many reasons. What we would be hoping to do in the future is have our scopes and designs done to the level where there was minimal need to come back for variations, or the variation is within the parameters of the contract. And I think it's the stage four for this work. Finished within $2 of the contracted amount, so we are getting better. So this was a four-stage project. The most recent tendered stage, like I said, was a lot better scope, a lot better executed, and finished within $2.70, I think, of the actual contracted price.
Just one more.
Keep going with Councillor Tarbo and then Councillor Lambert.
Do we have an electrical type person who governs these electoral projects?
Acting CEO?
Through the chair, I just deferred that to the Director of Works and Services.
Through the chair, I guess that was obviously a learning
from this particular tender. On my commencement, we engaged for the commissioning Worley Parsons to provide that support. The work was undertaken without that skill set in place back in 2013.
Any further points of clarification, Councillor Blanco?
Madam Mayor, I'd just like to know if this goes back to 2013-14, well, why has it taken so long to come back to Council, considering other stages of the project have been completed?
Acting CEO?
Through the Chair, I don't know why maybe they haven't come back. The point in time that it could have been potential number of reasons. There was significant changeover in staff, moving project from one project manager to another, loss of, I suppose, history within the project in regards to where the actual variations were up to. I can only assume maybe those are some of the reasons. We've identified it, and that's why I want to put the hand up, bring it up to Council and say, look, this has happened and this is where we're at, and request that Council make a determination as it is beyond that 10% variation.
Councillor Blanco, then Councillor Hooper.
Madam Mayor, I seem to have a long memory on all of these variations that we seem to get through, and additional costs. What have we put in place to make sure that this hasn't happened? We've had all of these audit reports. Have we implemented any of those recommendations from the auditors to ensure that this doesn't happen again?
Acting CEO.
Through the Chair, twofold. The auditor, obviously, more Stevens did identify this, and this is one of, obviously, recommendations to obviously make sure that the administration report back to Council if there's a variation beyond 10% for a project, and this is what we're doing. So we are implementing some of those recommendations already, as the Director of Works and Services identified, setting up a proper new project management stage gating process, which ensures proper scoping of projects, the correct assessment of electrical engineers or the engineers required to provide the details of the scope, and obviously robust assessment panels and selecting tenderers, and thirdly the management of the project with project managers and the recording of those projects as well. I'll just defer to the Director of Works and Services.
Through the Chair, just further to what the Acting CEO's identified. It is actually down at the fairly simple level of site instructions being filled in, that level of detail, a daily diary being filled in by the relevant project engineers, so there's the appropriate control, which I'm sure Councillor Tarbo would be well aware of, as well as yourself, Councillor Blanco, when you run a project of this nature. So it is actually putting the normal, what I would call normal project disciplines in place with how we run projects.
Councillor Hooper.
Yes, the wording in the document here refers to the final payment and no additional invoices will be due. Is this the end? Once this is paid, is this the end of all the airport transition payments from Downport Inlet to the entity?
No.
Through the Chair, this began before the airport transition. This is work that was already been undertaken. The airport transition projects are still listed as separate from this.
I'll go with Councillor Whitwell, then Councillor Tarbo. Councillor Whitwell.
Are we contractually liable for this amount of money?
Acting CEO.
Through the Chair, yes we are.
Councillor Tarbo. And then Councillor Newbury.
Sorry, just a question on the timing and the cost. Is there any late fees in this, if it's been going since 2013 and they haven't been paid yet?
Acting CEO.
Oh, through the Chair. So they have been paid along the way, hence the variation has accumulated. And as Moore Stevens pointed out, the transition of the Stage 2 tender to the Stage 3 tender, the carryover of some of Stage 2 into Stage 3, variations to the Stage 3 tender that weren't part of the scope, it became a little bit, I think everyone sort of lost track of what was going on and where things were up to, and change of staff potentially as well, but those payments. There have been payments well and truly lodged along the way for the completion of this project. This is rounding out the project to completion through, as the Director of Works and Services stated, as through the punch list of the final project assessment of practical completion.
So just a final thing on punch listing and that sort of stuff, it's not normally paid for by well, whoever's an employer, right? It's normally reworks and things like that.
Acting CEO.
No, through the chair, obviously we're not paying for the punch list, but we will help payment until the punch list has been completed.
Councillor Newbury?
Yeah, the 279, where does that money come from?
Acting CEO.
Through the chair, I might just defer to the Director of Works and Services just on where the money's coming from for this payment.
Through the chair, that will be from the airport reserve.
Yeah, through the chair, there's the washout, if you will, of the airport ins and outs. So the net transfers to and from reserves on June 30 includes the commitment of funds made in relation to airport construction costs. So we've accounted for the liabilities in relation to the airport, including this. The balance in the reserve account at June 30 is 15.8 million or thereabouts. And it includes the provision for the sum. Answering your question from Councillor Hooper earlier on in a different way, the Council seems to appreciate that there is estimated further works approximately worth $15 million for us to fulfil and complete our remaining contractual obligations at the airport, which will be considered in the next budget.
Councillor Blanchard?
Just a point of clarification. Yeah. Has the $276,406 already been paid to the contractor?
Acting CEO.
No, through the chair, they were identified through finance, been picked up and held, pending outcome of council resolution. Have not been paid as yet.
Councillor Newbury.
And you mentioned about stage four. How much is stage four?
Acting CEO.
Through the chair, I know stage four project's been completed.
Yeah, through the chair, I don't have that detail right in front of me. I think the important thing here is that the 279 identifies the final number, the final payment to Tech Services, the works are completed.
Councillor Ruth.
My agenda here says 276,406, but up there on the screen it says 279,706.
Acting CEO,
through the chair, there was a sneaky invoice hiding for about $3,300 that was missed, so that was picked up and has been added into that final value.
Do we have a...
This is incorrect here.
So that is the correct figure up there. Any further points of clarification? Councillor Blanco.
Madam Mayor, my understanding of the Local Government Act financial regulations is that if a contractor identifies that the amount is going to be over the quote, then they must come back and get the approval to finish the works. Is that correct?
Acting CEO.
Through the chair, that is correct, and obviously there has been over the years variations signed off on for work to continue. I might just defer to the Director of Works and Services.
Yeah, through the chair, I'm not quite sure that information is accurate.
Through the chair, if I may, the direct question of Councillor Blanco was that his understanding was that the FM regs infers or implies or states that the contractor must come back to council for approval. That's not the case.
All right, administration needs to come back to council.
Through the chair, separate statement, separate question, separate answer. So the FM reg says that we shall put in place procurement policies and procedures and delegations regarding authorisations, to which the town does have those policies and procedures, to which the town has, the council has authorised them. You'll see that there's a second recommendation here that goes to an additional tightening regarding variations to contracts. You can see that you adopted today a procurement policy, which talks about variations to purchase orders beyond a certain tolerance, for example. My belief is that you would have had a similar procurement policy previously. So yes, there are various rules and procedures regarding what the CEO puts in place and or what the council puts in place in delegations regarding variations to contracts, regarding tolerances and thresholds. So as to whether the town complied with the previous delegations or policies in relation to this example, I'm unsure of, because I don't know offhand the preceding policy delegations that relate to this.
Point of clarification.
Councillor Gillingham?
Yeah, this is a late item that obviously arrived on our computers yesterday and I've received today. There's a lot of, you know, mixed matching going on this evening, Madam Chair. There's been a mention that this should lay on the table and other things that are going to surface over the next, I don't know how many weeks, but we need to sort of get this all in hand before we vote on something like this.
So your point of clarification?
Well, it's just that the clarification was that we've had one figure in here and we've only just learnt there's another figure.
This has been verified and this is the final. Any further points of clarification? Okay, do I have a mover for the recommendation? Recommendation one, moved Councillor Hooper, seconded Councillor Riff. Do I have any against? Motion is carried, 9-0. Okay, recommendation two. Acting CEO, the intent of recommendation two is?
Through
it's
the
just
chair.
Restating.
Yes, it just also adds in, sorry, within regards to 10%, but or a 15,000, depending on the, sorry, just back on the previous page, here, or 15, whichever is the greater. So it just includes a monetary figure for obviously smaller variations, or a percentage for the larger. And sorry, and the coordinator governments would like to add to that?
The delegation is basically just providing further conditions, further clarity around what the delegation is in regards to contract variations. So it's tightening it so that the exit assessments don't happen. So it's providing the 10% or the $15,000, whichever is greater. So that's in regards to our smaller purchase orders or anything like that that are under the tender threshold and quoting threshold. So if you're dealing with your small contracts, because you guys consider contracts, then there's the conditions tab, if you could just scroll down a bit further. So then there's just conditions in place. So this is following on from the Moore Stevens report, where there's recommendations on so that's the confidential attachment that all documents have been provided with. So Moore Stevens have provided, I think, in that whole report, a number of recommendations. But point two and three are in relation to those ones specifically to tighten the control around how contract variations are used and signed off on.
Any points of clarification? Moved Councillor Hooper, seconded Councillor Whitwell. Do I have any against? Motion is carried, 8-0. Okay, item 16, matters of which the meeting may be closed, confidential matters, there are nil. Item 17, closure, 17.1, the date of the next meeting, so as per the item 12.2.8, the next ordinary council meeting will be held on Wednesday the 31st of August, the public agenda briefing will be Thursday the 25th of August. Before I close tonight's meeting, it's my duty to inform all of you that today, earlier this afternoon, I tendered my resignation as Mayor, effective Friday the 26th of August. So after 7 years as Mayor and two as a councillor, 9 years in total, and previously being a gardener, a sustainability development officer with the town, after 13 years of service to the town of Port Hedland, it's now time for me to leave local government. I won't be running in the upcoming state election. I'm leaving politics altogether. I'm looking forward to doing something different outside of local government, something where I'm helping people and making a difference. Certainly, I'm really proud of what we've done and what we've achieved. I'm really proud of those that are on the honour board there, and I'm really proud of councillors that have served with me and what we've achieved, and all our staff. The number of CEOs, directors and councillors, deputy mayors that I've had with me around the table. But now's the time for me to leave local government as we start our CEO recruitment process. Advertisements will not be this weekend, but the following weekend. So it's time for the town of Port Hedland to go forward, and I'm really thankful for all the opportunities, and I wish everyone all the very best. I'd like to importantly thank my husband, who's been an amazing support for me, and I'm looking forward to some work-life balance and continuing to do fantastic work in the community, so thank you. I declare the meeting closed at 8:26, and that's my last council meeting, formal council meeting, thank you.
Get that quiet, Kelly.
I didn't hear you're not a close confidant of mine,
Deputy
Mayor.
Well, normally I would hear about that, but obviously...
Your sources aren't as
good. No.
Not excited.